Thank you, gentlemen. Good morning. Is he worthy? Let you open your Bibles up to Romans 12. Open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 12 as we continue our study of this important chapter in the life of the Christian. What a great song to finish right before we get into here. Today we begin to look at verses 3 through 8. Go ahead and grab your outline to help you follow the flow of God's teaching here in the text. And I've entitled this section of Scripture, Our Usefulness in Serving God. With all that God has given us and who He is, why He came, what He did, we would want to be useful in serving God, wouldn't we? You guys agree with that? Is He worthy of your service? Is He worthy of your worship? Is He worthy of a surrender life to Him? I mean, all that God has done and we've been looking at, and here we are, we're picking up here, and we're going to be talking about just serving God and our usefulness in that. Verses 1 through 2, we've looked at quite a bit in Romans 12, are about the worship, our worship of God. Verses 3 through 8 are about our serving God. Are we useful to God in serving Him? And we're going to get into that today. So let's capture the flow of God's Word here, set these truths in our mind. Look with me in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Let's read them all together. So we really just kind of capture how the flow of this text is going. The Apostle Paul writes, Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For, or because, through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one to another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, or he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And like I said, as we looked at this, verses 1 and 2 are about our commitment to worship God. It's a response to what God has done, and then in verse 3 and 8 is about our commitment to serve God. So the Word of God is addressing those two things. This ministry of serving God, found in verse 3 through 8, directly follows our worship of God. It's a pretty simple principle, and we all know it, but so what you worship, you serve. Isn't that true? What do you guys think? What you worship, you serve. What you submit your life to, what you give your life to, you serve. That's just the way it is. Allow me to just review a little bit. What we've been learning in our previous study of verses 1 through 2 is that because of God's mercy, because of the truths of salvation found in Romans 1, chapters 1 through 11, our reasonable response to those truths is to worship God. To do that, we looked at this, we are to present to God our lives in worship. We're to offer to God our bodies, our humanness, our minds, our wills, to be led, shaped, directed in the action and understanding by God, to be used by God for His purpose. That's worship. We yield our lives continually, just reviewing where we've been and what we looked at, to God as a living and holy sacrifice. And the ground of motive for us to do that, the ground of motive for us to respond in this way, is that God has not given us what we deserve. We've received the mercy of God, and He did that so He could give us what we could not earn. Grace. And we dug into all of that. All of salvation's gift that we didn't deserve, He has given to us by His grace. This reasonable act of worship, surrendering our life as a living sacrifice, is God's fundamental requirement for all believers. Do you guys agree with that? Do you guys answer that for me in your own mind, heart, maybe put it on there. Do you agree? Let me read this. The reasonable act of worship, of surrendering a life as a living sacrifice to God, mind, body, will, is God's fundamental requirement for all believers. Do you believe that? You trust in that. That's what God has asked us to do in our response to what He has done through Jesus Christ. So only as a living sacrifice can we be what God wants us to be and mature toward that. But only as a living sacrifice can we do what God wants us to do, thereby proving what the will of God is, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. The Church of England for many years had this prayer that they use at the end of the communion service. It's in your outline there. I'll give it to you. And this is what they read at the end of communion as a prayer, as the body of Christ before the Lord. They said this: "And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, our bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee." Well, that's a good summary of what we learned in chapters 1 and 2, or in verses 1 and 2. Our reasonable response of worship. Our usefulness, get this, to God starts there. In a life surrendered to God. To be useful to God, it's a life that worships God, that is surrendered to God, that offers to God your life in a worship thing of the Lord, allowing God to shape and lead and direct your life so you can be useful to God in service. Let me just say something about that for a moment. If you've missed any of the previous three messages on verses 1 and 2, I would encourage you to go get them on our website and listen to them. For, you know, the truth of it is it's vital for all of us to understand our fundamental response of worship. We can agree with it and say it is in thought, in words, but what we want to do is apply it to our lives and live it in actions. It impacts everything in our life. So our usefulness to God starts with a surrendering, offering our body, minds, and wills to the Lord. Then Paul moves to say that in our usefulness, we are to be serving. He talks about our usefulness in serving God. On the front of your bulletin, it says this: Jesus answered him. This was the devil tempting him. He said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." It's just the way it is. Service follows worship. They go hand in hand. If you worship God, you serve God. You guys know this to be true in your own life. But if you put preeminent anything else in your life, if you worship your job, your boat, your whatever, it's something that you put preeminent, that you make most important, that you make higher than God, more important than his word, more important than his testimony, you immediately serve it. And God says in his word over and over, a lot of scriptures in there for you to look at, we're to worship God and serve him. So it follows after. And when you worship God and serve him, then your service becomes worship. So in our common commitment to worship God, there comes our common commitment to serve God. Devotion to the Lord becomes active, becomes useful in our service to God. I want you to think of it this way. There can be no genuine, effective service of God unless we have first offered ourselves as a living sacrifice in worship. Let me read that again to you. There can be no genuine, effective service of God unless we have first offered ourselves as a living sacrifice in worship to God. The intention of offering myself to the Lord, of offering myself to God in worship, is so that I become immediately useful to his plan and purpose and what he's doing. That's the point of our text here. In fact, I want you to listen to this. If you say that you are devoted to the Lord, if you say that you worship God, you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, if you say that you have given yourself to the Lord and we see no effective serving, how can anybody believe what you say? It goes hand in hand. As a living sacrifice offered to God, God then uses you to produce effective service. That's the deal. That's how it is. You're available and then useful in serving God. In fact, our text says God has given you spiritual gifts to do so. He gave them to you to serve him. Our usefulness to God starts in our offering ourselves to God in worship, and then begins our usefulness in serving God. From our text, we see that usefulness depends on three things. It's in your outline there, and I want you to look at that. Our usefulness to God depends on three things: the proper attitude, the proper relationships, the proper service. That makes sense, doesn't it? It is a very practical section of Scripture, but very powerful section of Scripture, because it's talking about our lives, your lives, that you live every day, that I live every day. 1 and 2 talks about what we offer our life to every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. What do we offer our life to? What do we submit our body to, our flesh to, our mind to, our will to. And then now it's, are we useful to God in serving him? It depends on three things. What's your attitude in it? How's your relationships in it? And then what are you actually doing when you're serving? And so we're going to dig into that today, and we're going to begin. Turn your outline over. We're just going to look at one, the proper attitude. We're just going to look at one verse today. We're going to look at the proper attitude. Now, are we with me here today? We are right here. We're capturing. Okay, so what we're looking at is our usefulness to God and serving him is vital. It depends upon that we have the right attitude. It's important that we have the right attitude. It's in the Word of God here. He's going to talk to us about it. So we have to look at ourselves. We got to think about our life. What's my attitude today? Let me ask you. Anybody want to share their attitude this morning? I was pretty thankful this morning after I got over myself. Think about it. You woke up, right? You got going, things, that. What was the attitude? What was your view? What was the manner that you viewed things? I want you to capture this. This is like we were talking in Sunday school, and Ryan, thank you for leading that today, and in your little testimony you gave it front, what that gentleman said. You know, we can teach our children what we think, what we know, but we want to teach them what we really do is shape them with how we live. And I don't want to just teach what God's Word says. I want to say it correctly. This is what God said, what he meant, but this is about how we live, isn't it? Right? This is life, right? I don't want to just know what is true. I want to live what is true. And I'm going to fall short in my attitude, and God's going to help me with it. We're going to look at it today. But look at verse 3 with me today, and we're just going to unpack that this verse right here. And so for us to be useful to God in serving God, and I would agree. I mean, I'm sure you guys want to be useful to God in serving him, don't you? Do you want to be not useful? Right? We all want to be useful, right? So this is a good thing. We want to be useful to God and serving God. So we have to have the proper attitude. And that's what we're going to dig into today. Look at it with me. It's just verse 3. We're going to look at one verse today. Or look what Paul says in verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of themselves than you ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of gift. Now, it's pretty simple. One verse here tells us the proper attitude, right? Is it hard to pick out what the proper attitude is? Right? Hey, don't think more highly of yourself than you should, okay? This inflated big head. I love that commercial where the guy got a promotion and he's walking and his head's like this big and they are going like, I think his head's a little bigger today. That kind of thing, right? I mean, we got to have the right view of ourselves. Don't think too highly of yourself. Think rightly about yourself. So what's the right attitude? Humility, right? To be humble, humility, the proper approach, the proper view, the proper manner in serving God, the proper mindset, the proper attitude in serving God's humility. It's not hard to figure out. It's all over in the Word of God. Philippians 2:5 says, have this attitude, this view, this mindset in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, what is it? Humility of mind, right? He humbled himself in mind and serving to God. He humbled himself even to the point of giving his life, dying on a cross. That's pretty humble mind. Wouldn't you guys agree? I mean, think about the thoughts of that. Think about the life of that. Today, I'm going to walk in humility of mind. Okay, so they're going to crucify me, have me on a cross, humility of mind. I'm going to submit my life to God, let God do what God's going to do, because I'm walking in humility of mind. Well, I'm Jesus Christ. God, how can you let him kill me? He had to let that one go, right? Listen, God has given you new life, spiritual gifts to serve him with, resources to serve him with. Our usefulness to God depends on our proper view, on our proper mindset, our proper attitude of humility. No place in serving God for pride, would you agree? Well, you guys are excited today. I don't want to be prideful, so I didn't want to say it too loud, no. Is there any place in serving God for self-exaltation? No. How about in the know-it-all attitude? How about even the thoughts of God, can't use me, I'm not very gifted, I'm kind of recluse, and I'm kind of lame, or I'm kind of hurt, or I'm kind of an inward kind of person, I'm self-defeating. That's pride also, isn't it? God can't use me. No place, no usefulness to God in the wrong attitude. So how do you get to the right attitude? That's a great question, huh, in serving God. What do you think? How do you get the right attitude? It'd be good to know, right? How do you get to this right attitude of humility? I mean, you know, false humility, it's just ugly, isn't it? You know, sometimes you watch a sporting event, you watch the player, and he does something great and all that kind of stuff, and then he gets up there, and you can tell. He just wants to go, aren't I awesome? But he's trying not to go there. Or she. There's athletes that are incredible that are female also. So it's a real humility. It's a humbleness in mind. It's where God will take us if we worship him, submit our lives to him. But how do we get the right attitude? Well, it's right there in your text. It's right here in verse 3. The first point would be you need to recognize grace. Grace is huge, isn't it, Pastor Tom? You ever come to the bottom of the depths of grace? Sometimes it's so deep, man, it's above our head. But son, I love being there. I like walking in life, recognizing the grace of God, even when it's like, wow, everything's a grace, isn't it, Lord? But look at the text with me. Look at verse 3. It says, for through the grace of given to me, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church. Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each measure of faith. Well, I know the Apostle Paul had learned to think in sound judgment. But did you hear what he said? Here's the Apostle Paul, and an apostle of the church of Jesus Christ. How many people can say that? A preacher of God's word, a writer of scripture, delivering firsthand the word of God. Just catch that. God speaking to him about truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, showing him, having him write, having him deliver, and it's the word of God. He has all the apostolic gifts to heal, signs and wonders, the whole deal. You remember all that, right? Touch his handkerchief, you're healed. The whole Gentile church is turning on him using his spiritual gifts. The world for Jesus Christ is turning on the Apostle Paul. And him using his spiritual gifts with his strong authority from the Lord. And what's he say? It's just a grace given to me. Got nothing to do with me. Either does it have anything to do with you. That's what he's saying. If you understand true grace, that God, by his own free will and choice, not dependent upon me at all, what family I came from, what kind of person I was before salvation, how good I thought I was, or how unbad I was, God gave me grace. God gave me favor. And in fact, if it was based on me at all, I would get wrath. That you can serve God with your gifts is a grace, because the other option is wrath. You got to recognize that. You got to recognize, you know, the world will go on if I'm gone tomorrow. This church will go on if I've gone tomorrow. Obviously, we'll miss each other. Obviously, there'll be some grief. But see, God's got this, and God is doing what he's doing. And he's graced you, given you things to do, graced you with gifts to do only what he can do. Save and sanctify. Why Jesus died on the cross, so God could do what he could do. Paul in Romans 1:5 said, all that I am is because I have received grace. Romans 15:15, he says, I can say this only because of grace. Ephesians 3:7, he said, I was made a minister of the gospel by the gift of God's grace. 1 Timothy 1:12 and 13, Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he reckoned me worthy, grace, putting me into service. Paul says, I was a persecutor, a violent aggressor toward the Christian church. I was a chief sinner. You have to capture this. You see, your abilities, your gifts, your resources to serve God, whatever they are not because of you at all. They're because of him. And it's a grace. He didn't look down and say, oh, there's somebody with a nice personality. There's somebody with a quirky thing. There's somebody with this and that and that. He saw down. And as before you were saved, God looked at you with enmity, Romans 5. But but he demonstrated his love for you by Christ dying on the cross. He chose to love you when he looked at you and saw enmity. You can just put hatred. Okay, this is the truth of God's word and what it says and what it means. Then Christ died on the cross. Then God, by his mercies, did not give us what we deserve and gave us grace and rescued us and delivered us and brought us into the kingdom of God to serve God. And he says, you need to recognize grace to walk in humility. Because I don't deserve it any more than anybody else. But if my heart and my mind thought about that I deserve it more than someone else, then I'm not capturing grace. So important what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. Look at verse 6 in chapter 12. Look what it says. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Do you understand God has gifted you, that he's gifted us, all of us, to serve in his church, to serve his purpose, to serve the Lord's glory, to serve God's kingdom, to serve in the greatest and most magnificent thing God is doing in humanity and building the body of Christ, building his church for eternity. That's what captures our heart and mind to bring humility. That is way above my life, way above my quarter of my house falling down, way above that the squirrels are eating everything in my house and digging holes all over the place, way above over everything in my life, that I am participating in something that God is doing for eternity, and he grace gift me to be able to play a part in it, and I don't deserve any of it. That's how you start beginning to find how your walk in humility and your attitude in humility. I don't deserve this. We don't deserve anything. God is gracious and wonderful, and we have the life that we have, but that's the Christian and how they walk in this life. And yes, Brian, headed to eternity, there's the hope, because it all comes to fruition. I won't sin anymore. I won't have problems with my thoughts. We won't. So this is what the Apostle Paul is talking to us about. Do you recognize the grace of God that has been given to you for you to do this? I want to ask you a question. Who deserves grace? What do you think, Colton? I don't. That helped me in my life when I recognized that I don't. Do you in your mind think you do, or someone else? Or over someone else? Whatever you have, time, talent, treasure, it's not based upon you. It's a grace period. Whatever spiritual gift you have to serve God, to be useful in serving God, you have to have the proper attitude. Say it with me. What is it? Humility. Second point in our outline. Here in verse 3. So we have to have the right attitude, the right view, and it's going to be humility, and you have to think rightly about yourself. Look what it says. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound mind judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So it's talking about thinking rightly, right? We got to think rightly. You'll notice three times in the text, Paul says to think, you're not to think, you ought to think, but to think, right? You get it? Right? It's about how you're thinking. You got to think rightly. That's your mind, right? And what you have to offer to God in worship to allow God to teach you truth so you think rightly. As it says in our text, to think as to have sound judgment. Now, let me unpack that for you a little bit. That's what we want to do. We want to have sound judgment about ourselves. That's not easy, is it? I think I'm better looking than I am. I remember church basketball, and I used to think I could jump and shoot and rebound and all that until I took a jump shot and went for a rebound, and I landed flat sideways, boom, right on the ground, and I said to the guys that came to pick me up, I thought I was upright. That wasn't sound thinking, was it? It wasn't sound judgment. I couldn't do that anymore, right? This is the idea is what he's talking about. Let me unpack this for you. It's one word in the Greek, means to be sane in one's mind. Listen to Luke 8:35. This is the idea, to be sane in one's mind. Here it is, Luke 35. The people went out to see what had happened. Jesus had come about, and did some things, and they came to see Jesus and found a man from whom the demons have gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The idea is being clothed in your right mind means it's crazy not to think rightly about yourself. That's how that's really saying. To have sound judgment is not crazy thinking. And it's crazy not to have, it's insane not to think rightly about yourself. It ain't going to help you a bit. Here in our text, God has given you spiritual gifts to serve him. Are you arrogant, boastful, full of yourself? Are you defiant, resentful authority? Or are you complacent, self-depreciating, self-focused to serve? All of that's pride, and it's insane thinking. It's crazy. That's not good judgment. Now, Paul's including everyone here in the church to get this. He's talking to all of us, each and every one of us, and we need to hear it every day, to say to everyone among you, he's talking to us, do not think too highly of yourself. That's insane, is what that's saying. Think with the right mind about yourself. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more help for a fool than for him. Galatians 6:3 says this, for if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Romans 12:16 says this about us, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. You want to have a correct estimation about yourself. So we want to think rightly. Let me have you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just kind of help with this and having the right estimation of ourselves to think rightly about ourselves. And you can see it right now. So when you're just thinking about that, when as we're talking about it, I'm gonna have the right thinking about myself. I'm gonna have, as it says in our text, I'm gonna think rightly about me. Okay, so God's word's gonna shape that, right? God's gonna help me in all that. But you know when the things come up in your mind when you think about yourself that you're boastful or you're arrogant or you're self-exalting or you're self-depreciating, you know what I'm talking about. This happens in our life, right? This is real. And so God's going to help you right here, and he says, is that thinking rightly about you? Yes, you're a child of God. Yes, you rescued, delivered. I've given you gifts to serve. Yes, you are this, that, these things in the Word of God, all those kind of things. We want to think rightly about ourselves. And so let's just look at 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start in verse 20. Verse 21, look here with me. Now, let's start in 18 and get to 21. Are you guys there with me? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 and following, he says this, but now God, the Apostle Paul writes this, has placed the members. Now, when he's talking about members, he's got this whole body illustration going on. And so there's a body of Christ, and the members are each part, arm, leg, those kind of things, right? And that's what he's referring to as an illustration. But now God has placed the members, okay, the body parts, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. If there were all one member, if we're all just a leg, where would the body be? Wouldn't be a body, right? Just would be a leg. We need the legs, feet, ears, all of that kind of stuff, right, for it to function. But now there are many members, but one body. Now look at verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Did you hear what that said? Is that how you think? You serve, but you're independent from other serving. You serve, but you don't really work with others. You serve, but you're independent from leadership. You don't submit to authority. I'm a head, I'm a foot, and I'm not really connected, and it's just about me. Do we think that way? Are we independent? We don't need others, need others' help. We don't need discipleship. Is that how we think? Let me tell you, that's insane. God didn't make it work that way. That's called prideful, and he wants us to be in humility. God wants you to see it like, wow, that's insane thinking. To think this was about you and you and you. God's gifted you. He's gifted you to leadership in some ministries and take it and do a great job in it. But it's just a hand, and it doesn't work without the arm. And the arm doesn't work without the, right? And when you separate yourself and get independent from it, that this is about me and what I do and my ministry, it's not yours. It's ours. And your gifts are to help me, and my gifts are to help you. Not to promote you. not to be lifted up. It all works together. Now look at verse 15 and 16. Look what the Word of God says. He says here, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not the eye, am I not part of the body? Is it not for this reason any less part of the body? Is that you? Is that the way you think? Since I'm not an eye, I'm just an ear, not much to serve with. Since I'm just a foot, not a hand, I'm really not a part of the church, so I don't participate. That's insane. I'm just trying to help you with the Word of God. That's not sound judgment. Scripture has to form your thinking for you to think rightly about yourself. It's not about your feelings, your faults, your strengths, your limitations, your doubts, your bravado, your personality. It's about God and how He gifted you. We don't want to overestimate ourselves or underestimate ourselves. We want to allow God and His Word to shape our lives. That's why you have to submit your life to God. Because it won't be useful if it's not. It'll be about what you think and about how you see it and how you want it done and how you see what I'm talking about. Or I cannot do it because it's about how I think. I want the mind of Christ. How about you? I want the mind of humility. This is how God gets us there. Before we move to our last point, and I'll get to this pretty quick, I want to share a little something about my life to illustrate this. When Krista and I knew that God wanted us to sell the restaurant and me to go to seminary, I don't know how we knew that. We had some affirmations from people in the church, but a lot of people in my life said, that's insane. Krista and I would say at that time, we're going, wow, this is insane. I don't know if this is sound judgment. You know, I didn't look at my life and say, look, all the gifts I have, God's gifted me. I can be a pastor. I can do this. I can shepherd a church, all the administration, all the things. I love the community. I just knew I loved God, and He was at work in my life, and He confronted me with my life. I went to Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I said, here it is, Lord. And Lord, if I'm doing this in seminary and I'm not supposed to be here, I give you the responsibility. Because you need to kick me in the head and get me out of this, because I'm just following. This isn't about me, this is about you. And if I follow through and be faithful, and this is what I wasn't to do, it falls on you, Lord. Look what He did. It's a grace. You only know the depth and breadth of your gifts by surrendering your life to the Lord. You don't look at your life and say, oh, I got this, I should do that. Oh, I can't do that, I don't got this. It's saying, Lord, here I am. You know, some of the greatest teachers in the body of Christ sit in this room. God's just waiting for you to submit your life to Him so you can become the teacher God wants you to be. Some of the biggest evangelists in our community are in this room. Gifted. You don't see it. God says, I'm not going to show it to you, I'm waiting for you. The life of the body of Christ, the life of the church flows with us, Romans 12, 1 and 2. To be useful has the mind, the attitude of humility that says, I'm going to think about me the way God thinks about me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God wants me to go to seminary, as crazy as that was, took me 8 years, you guys. Come on, this wasn't like a breeze. I had some other things come along the way. I'm just privileged to be a part of the body of Christ and get to do what I get to do. I wake up every day that way and look at myself and just want to try to do better. I'm just trying to still learn and grow and surrendering my life to Christ so He can do what He wants to do. And I've got a lot of learning to do. It's a constant, continual giving of oneself to allow God to shape how you think about yourself, humble in mind. Last point, so the proper attitude is in serving God is humility. To get there, you recognize grace. You are what you are. Your spiritual gifts to serve are not based on you. They are given by grace. You learn from God's word to think rightly about yourself. The last point, you have to recognize God sovereignly bestows your ability to serve. Look at the end of verse 3. Look what he said. Back to Romans 12. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Allotted means to distribute. God distributed this. God sovereignly distributed spiritual gifts to each one of you, to each one of us. He decided you don't. It means you don't seek gifts. You seek him in worship. He brings forth the depth and breadth of the gifts that you have. He knows. We don't chase after gifts. We follow God, and God brings forth the gifts. Measure of faith in context means here, it refers to the correct measure of the spiritual gift and its operating features that God sovereignly disposes. I want you to see it this way. Every believer receives the exact gift and the resources best suited to fulfill his or her role in the body of Christ. Let me read that again. Every believer receives the exact gift and resources best suited to fulfill his or her role in the body of Christ. Let that sink in. Just let that sink in for a moment. And to be useful to God, I have to have the mind of humility. So the limitations aren't God, they're us. And he's going to deal with our hearts to think humbly. Because only a humble mind, God will bring forth the things that he has planned and purposed in your life. A prideful mind, an arrogant mind, a self-depreciating mind. God has sovereignly bestowed upon each of us all that is needed for you to serve the Lord in the work that he is doing. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says this, only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each in this walk in this manner. Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. 1 Peter 4:11 says, whoever speaks is to do it as the one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Here's the impact. And I had a bunch of things on the impact, but I'll get some next week. This is part one. But here's the impact. So that we are, if you're a teacher, if you're to speak, if you're to disciple, if you're to encourage, and all of us are, all of us have the word of God in our life. All of us have God's way and truth in our heart and mind, and he wants us to speak. Now, there, maybe it's talking a little more about teaching or being up front, but you speak the word of God to each other. You speak it to your community. You tell other people about Jesus Christ. Do it as the utterance of God. Do it as that God is speaking through you. And he who serves, do it in the strength of God, right? Do it in his strength and serve him and all the things that we would do, serving him in the strength of Jesus Christ. Oh, my gosh, that's pretty powerful, I would say. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. That's the proper attitude of humility. These are sovereignly bestowed upon us with a humble mind and reflecting on grace. I want to serve God in usefulness. And the truth of it is, for the realness of his glory. Last thought as we close. 1 Corinthians 15:10, we all love this verse, don't we? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Raise your hand if you love that verse. That's just a great verse, isn't it, right? That's the beginning of it. I am saved by the grace of God. I am gifted. I had helped. I'm loved. I have hope. I have joy, contentment, peace, purpose, life. We love all that, but then he said this, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, did not prove emptied, did not prove it had no impact. That's our desire as God's church, and that's God's desire of his grace in our lives, for us to be useful to God in serving for his glory, which will never be emptied. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning and for the grace that we walk in. The word of God says we stand in this grace, and we do. We exalt in hope, and we do. We exalt in the Lord. And even though life has the things going on, the sanctification is happening in each one of our lives through all the things that are going on. And I know in our heart today, Lord, each and every one of us would agree, we want to be useful in serving the Lord. But the words are easy to say. Even the thoughts are easy to think. But we all want to think rightly of ourselves. We want to think with a sane mind and a right mind. And we know we fall short. We know we've been selfish. We know we thought of our own self. We know we've been off. Confession, repentance, and forgiveness is the life of a believer. Always has been. Doesn't end until you go to eternity, to go be with the Lord. Everyone in the room knows that. Every parent knows that the greatest example they are to their kids is owning up to where they've fallen short of what God has for them and ask for forgiveness to go forward in what God does have for them. It's a true, honest relationship with our God. It's what we want for our children to have with Him. So we stand here in grace, grateful for each day's opportunity, thankful that You are molding and shaping who we are, and that You will help us with our thoughts as we recognize grace and recognize Your sovereign hand on our lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We're dismissed for today.